Live from Buffalo Creek. Turn in your Bibles this morning to Psalm chapter 24. Psalm chapter 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Selah. Now this psalm talks about God as King. I believe specifically it's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And there is coming a day, a grand and a glorious day, when the earth that belongs to the Lord is going to be populated with those who are saved by sovereign grace, washed in the blood of the Lamb, born of the Spirit, and righteousness is going to reign in the person of Jesus Christ. I believe that there is a day coming, and it could be very soon, that Jesus Christ is going to return with all his saints to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. It's called the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. I bring that up because this is God's purpose for this earth. The earth is the Lord's. That's the title of my message today. And the two verses, verse 1 and 2, make it crystal clear that God Almighty is the creator, the owner, the governor of the earth, and everything and everyone that occupies it. I believe that. Men and governments are only permitted to inhabit the earth and to use it according to God's good pleasure and God's will. Now, a lot of what I'm going to preach today and teach and talk about is completely contrary to everything you heard this past week about Earth Day. You say, well, why are you preaching against that? Somebody has to. We got a whole generation of kids raised on Captain Planet, in the cartoon, Captain Planet, who don't know that God is the Creator, who think that their parents are burning up the earth. I don't believe man's in control. Mankind is not in control of the earth. God is. Psalm 135 and verse 6, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. I'll go a step further. I don't believe for a moment that man is in control of the environment or the climate, the weather, or Earth's resources. God's in control of it. Man does not have the ability to control the environment and the weather. Only God does. Now, here's the sticking point. We're living in a day and age where an overwhelming number of people have been indoctrinated to believe in evolution. So they don't regard God as the Creator. I've come to the conclusion that a lot of professing Christians are really practical atheists. They just go along to get along. They may pay lip service, but they don't believe the first verse of the Bible that says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth is the Lord's. He will sustain and provide for the health and welfare of planet Earth according to His sovereign will. God has a purpose for the earth, which will ultimately be physically and literally manifested in the millennial reign of Christ, in the purgation of the universe, and then the revelation of a new heaven and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Every false system of popular belief under the religion of secular humanism has evolved in an attempt to overthrow the plain truth that we see here in Psalm 24, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Point number one. The earth is not to be worshipped. Plain and simple. I believe that we're living in a day and age of what I call climate idolatry. People have exalted scientific research over the plain truth of the Word of God. God is upholding all things by the Word of His power. Now, when I was a kid, I never even thought about this stuff. I think originally we had something called Arbor Day. Remember that? Where you planted a tree. It was a feel-good day, wasn't it? Yeah. Dad, we're going to plant a tree. It's going to be great. We'll plant, and that's great. I mean, I love trees. I don't hug them, but I love them. I mean, we got We got a greenhouse owner in our membership. I love living things. I love what God has given us. I'm all for clean air, clean water, and wise use of our resources. I am for all those things. I'm just not for all the interference of the government of the world, the global government, interfering in how I manage my day-to-day life. I live in America, the land of the free, the home of the brave. I'm all for preservation and conservation. But I am against an agenda that wants to intrude into my life and strip me of my personal freedom. There are politicians today that are talking about making laws and to where you can only eat a cheeseburger a week. You laugh at that. I'm telling you. I watched a documentary this week that featured Greta Thunberg, that little girl, which I believe they've done such a disservice to that little girl. She's an angry little girl. I mean, it's serious. Well, how the media has used her to further their agenda. And it's sad. But I listened carefully to what she was saying and what she is promoting and what those who are on that, the most far liberal end of the climate change argument, they want to completely change everybody's behavior. Literally. That's what socialism is about. Social engineering. And folks, it's serious. Well, I got to studying about how climate idolatry came about. April 22nd. Now everybody thinks that's Earth Day, but it's Josh Ross's birthday. Far more important in my world. April 22nd, 1970 was the first Earth Day. And in effect, it was the birth of the modern-day environmental climate change movement. The founder of Earth Day, there's actually several that contributed. And one guy was a hippie activist in his 60s. He touted himself as a co-founder of Earth Day. His name is Ira Einhorn. Just a little tidbit about Ira and how he rolled. He was found guilty of killing his girlfriend and stuffing her mummified body in a closet. He died in prison April 3rd of this year. One of the guys that says he's the co-founder. Now, the one that people really say was the main mover and shaker was a man by the name of Gaylord Nelson. He was a politician from Minnesota. And I'm going to give you a little background about him, because I believe all of this, a lot of it doesn't have anything to do with science or with the saving the planet. A lot of it has to do with a political, global desire of men. The initial concept was conceived by Gaylord Nelson from Wisconsin. He was a Democratic senator. He was Congress's first environmental activist. He was also the mastermind behind the public school teach-ins. Remember those? In the 60s and the 70s, where the teachers would basically call for a mutiny, would scrap the day's assigned curriculum, pressure their students to sit cross-legged on the floor, and rap about how America was an imperialist nation, and converse about why communism really wasn't such a bad form of government. It needed to be implemented properly. He was one of the main movers and shakers. Now, another guy that kind of goes right along with him was a man by the name of Paul Ehrlich. He was from Stanford. In 1968, Ehrlich authored The Population Bomb, which he infamously spouted wild allegations that included equating the Earth's supposed surplus of people with a cancer that needs to be eradicated. A cancer is an uncontrolled multiplication of cells. The population explosion is an uncontrolled multiplication of people. We must shift our efforts from treatment of the symptoms to the cutting out of the cancer. The operation will demand many apparently brutal and heartless decisions. He wrote that in The Population Bomb. Gaylord Nelson believed that, promoted that. And then another guy was a man by the name of Dennis Hayes. He was a student body president while at Stanford University. He's well known for organizing anti-Vietnam War protests. Hayes heard about Senator Nelson's teach-in concept and eventually helped him to institute the practice nationwide. Again, education. Education, indoctrination. You ask your average kid today, who is Karl Marx? Who is Vladimir Lenin? Now, why do I bring Vladimir Lenin up in this little bit of a lesson about the history of Earth Day? Interestingly enough, the original Earth Day celebration conveniently coincided with the 100-year anniversary of the birthday of Vladimir Lenin. Now, a little bit about Lenin. Environmentalists have always admired Lenin. He was the first disciple of Karl Marx to capture control of a country, the Soviet Union, Russia. And the opening act of his 7-year reign commenced with the abolition of all private property, a Marxist priority. Despite overseeing a bloody civil war, a devastated economy, and citizenry without hope, Lenin made it a priority to implement his signature decree called On Land. And in this essay, he declared that all forests, waters, minerals are to be the exclusive property of the state. And he demanded these resources be protected from use by the public and private enterprise. Selling timber or firewood, mining minerals, or diverting water for farming was strictly prohibited. And it's one of the reasons why the Soviet Union really has never recovered. Russia They've been a mess. Communism always leads to heartache. Now, Earth Day even has... I believe it's a religion. Atheism has a religion. It has doctrines. It has cardinal doctrines that you cannot disagree with. One of them is evolution. Another one is climate change. Somebody, oh, you're a climate denier. You deny that our climate's not changing? No. I'm a climate believer. I'm actually the one that believes in the greatest event of climate change that's ever occurred, the flood of Noah. It's the reason why we have flood, or why we, the flood is the reason why you have all the strata in different rock formations, why we have fossils. I believe in climate change. God judged the world with an event called the worldwide flood. So yes, I'm not a climate denier, I'm a climate believer. Here's the difference. I don't believe that you and I have the ability to monitor, change anything in this, in the environment. Now we can clean it up, but in reality, you can't stop a hurricane. You can't stop a tornado. Have you noticed that over the past several years, no matter what it is in the weather, oh, that's due to climate change. Is it really? You read Psalm 104 and you find that God's the one that sends the rain. God's the one that sends the snow. God's the one that sends the hail. Earth Day even has an anthem and a hymn that's set to Beethoven's Ode to Joy. The environmental or green movement is the logical outgrowth of evolution, of atheism, and secular humanism, all of which denies that there is a God. They deny that. They deny that our universe has been created by intelligent design. They deny that God Almighty is the sustainer of the earth and its inhabitants. You say, well, there's a lot of science that disproves the Bible. Is there? You know, there's a verse in Colossians that calls that science falsely so-called. See, I'm not backing down. No matter if they call me the hick from Buffalo Creek, no matter if they call me ignorant, I don't care. I believe the Bible. I believe God is the Creator. I believe that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell therein. It all belongs to God. And He's managing it according to His sovereign will. So how far, I call them climate commies, how far have they gone in the USA? The theory of evolution is taught as fact by every government school in the United States. Now you probably don't know this, but there is a movement that is gaining momentum among atheists that would not recognize or certify any degree awarded by a Christian school or a university that teaches intelligent design by an all-wise creator. What were they saying? We will not accept any kind of Christian teaching. It is antithetical to secular humanism and to the doctrines of atheism. And I'm going to tell you something. They squawk all the time about freedom of religion and how that the state should not impose. They are imposing a religion on your children every day the doors are open. It is a religion of atheism, of climate change. Worship of the earth and nature in general is considered idolatry in the Word of God. You see, we ought to worship the Creator and the Sustainer of the earth, not the earth that He created. And men are now worshiping what they call science rather than God. Turn over to Romans chapter 1 and verse 25. By the way, this is the mark of a reprobate culture. If you read Romans chapter 1, it gives you all of the characteristics of a culture, a society that has a reprobate mind, void of judgment, who have dismissed God and turned to idols. Somebody says, well, I believe that judgment's coming for America. Judgment's already here. It says in verse 21. Well, let's read verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. By the way, notice, the writers of Scripture forcefully declare, without apology, that God is a creator. You see it over and over and over again. If you don't believe that, you don't believe the Bible. If you don't believe God's a creator, you don't, because it's all through Scriptures. Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of God, of the uncorruptible God, into an image made like to corruptible men and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the Creator of the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Worship of the earth and nature in general is idolatry. It has spawned an entire industry. Think about it. How did politician Gore, when did he really come into his own as a money man? When he put out the film An Inconvenient Truth. And really, if you go back and you look at a lot of his claims, they were completely way off base. Yet he's sitting on fat stacks of cash because he's promoted this idea and got people to buy into it. And while he's telling everybody to do this or that, he's flying around on his own private jet. How good's that for the environment? In the 1970s, they called it global cooling. Newsweek had a front page article, which was a big deal. It was on the cover of Newsweek in 1975, and they called it the cooling world. Said the world was soon going to be frozen. That was in 1975. In 2008, Newsweek, same magazine, published an article on global warming as the cause of this year's extreme weather, and that literally the earth was going to burn up. Last year, I heard politician Ocasio-Cortez say that we've got 12 years before the earth burns up, before everything. And people took her seriously. Do you really believe that? Number one, you don't know the future. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But there's computer models. You don't know. Man-made climate change is an idea that assumes man has the ability to control the environment and weather patterns and lower temperatures. And in reality, it is the height of arrogance to believe that man has the ability to alter God's purpose, God's plan. The planet does not need to be saved. Rather, those who occupy the planet need to be saved through faith in Jesus Christ. I believe with all my heart that all of Scripture is true. I'm not a scientist. But I've come to the place in my life where I have seen science politicized to advance a particular agenda that really happens to want to destroy nearly everything regarding personal liberty. The earth is Lord's and the fullness thereof. As I watched Greta talk about cows and flatulation, she was basically getting to the saying, we need to eliminate meat from your diet. Again, that's contrary to God's word. In fact, the Bible, somebody says, well, why are you preaching this? Folks, one of the reasons why we're in the mess we're in is preachers just didn't even address these issues. And churches became full of evolutionists. It's a point of emphasis for me. Because I've seen what it's done to our country. People deny God. They deny His Word. And they want to force their religion on you. Force feed it every day. If you don't do what they say, they're going to cancel you. They're going to take away your livelihood. And that's what's coming with this climate change stuff. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. I used to think that just pertained to the Catholic Church. I think it has a lot to do with homosexuality, transgenderism, because they don't believe in biblical marriage. They want to alter and change that completely. Well, I'm not giving in. I don't recognize it as such. And commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Okay, so are you going to take what a politician says? Or are you going to take what God's word says? I'm going to take what God's word says. Now, I'm a little bit prejudiced because I'm a meat cutter. Every time somebody talks about an animal, I think about how can you prepare that? How can you fix that? This is awful, but my Asher's Poppy, because I think that's what they call Curtis. He just bought him. Asher's been wanting ducks and guinea pigs for pets. And he went out and got him a little flock of ducks and a couple of guinea pigs. And I told Andrea, take good care of those. I've never prepared them before. We can YouTube it. But I hear that, because in some countries, like in South America, they eat guinea pigs on a regular basis. Papua New Guinea, they eat that. They're a pretty clean animal. They don't eat a lot of garbage. But the point I'm making is, I'm not buying in to what I believe is a global effort to take away your freedoms as an individual. There's talk that they're going to put something in every car that'll record your mileage to every destination you go to, and it's going to be another tax depending on your mileage. We already have that. That's what a gas tax is. It's a use tax. You pay, you go fill up with gas. Well, that's going to be added to it. But the real kicker is, I don't think it, the tax money, that's, it's another form of surveillance. Oh, you're a conspiracy. No, I just look at things. Whose business is it? If I want to drive to see my dad, that's not the government's business, that's my business. So I see much of climate change theology as an attempt to control people. Well, I want to be controlled by the Lord. Now, I got through my first point. Next Sunday, I'm going to show you that the earth is the Lord's by divine right as creator from the Scriptures. And then I'm going to show you that the earth is the Lord's as evidenced by the administration of everything God does. He's the one in control. Now, I'm going to ask you today, do you really believe that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all they that dwell therein? Does it belong to God as a creator? Or does it belong to men who can shape it and fashion it? The arrogance that man can save the planet. It is nonsensical. God is in the saving business. Let's all stand.